Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Hey, listen to this. I preached in a church in Liverpool. And it's basically across the river, so it's sort of not Liverpool, actually. It's another place, but it's very, very close to Liverpool, about 20 minutes away. And I got to preach, and before I got up, the pastor said to me, "Hey, listen, are you into the Beatles? Anyone into the Beatles? Yeah, you have three of you? That's great. Okay. I'm into the Beatles, right, because you can't buy me love and all that, right? And so he says to me, "This place that you're in now," because they own this building, they go, "This place used to be a nightclub." I said, "Really? Yeah. It was called the something something." And he goes, see that kitchen there? See how it looks like a bar? I said, "Yeah," because he goes, "It was a bar." I said, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "And you know the platform that you're going to preach from, the Beatles played off that platform." Yeah, now it's wow, huh? Before it's like Beatles who? Wow. So I couldn't help myself, and I grabbed the guitar, and I got up on that platform, and I did the best rendition of some song I can't quite remember, Can't Buy Me Love or something. And then they kicked me out of the church, and I've never been asked. But anyway, how's that, hey? I got to sing off the same platform the Beatles did. Some of you couldn't care less, and you hate the Beatles, but I like them. Well, our team, we went to Life Conference over in New Zealand, which, by the way, is a brilliant conference, and we couldn't recommend it any more highly than any other conference that's out there. But honestly, it's a great conference. We love it. It's our conference of choice for Lifehouse people. It's just got the same spirit. It's a world-class conference. People come from all over the place, but at the same time, it's intimate and it's not too big, and they know us and they love us. And so I took our team over, and we went there, and we really enjoyed ourselves. But there was a message that I think that messed us all up. And it was preached by a guy called Pastor John Cameron, and it was talking about asking God. And so we were all, weren't we? We were all a mess. We were like, "Oh man, yeah, we're all heathens. What are we doing?" You know. Anyway, so we love this message and we embraced it. And so I've got this message buzzing in me. I'm thinking, "Oh, that's a great word." You know, I received it, and you know, as a preacher, you're always thinking, "I reckon I could add to that." And anyway, but I end up going to Poland. So pretty much, we end up in Poland pretty quickly after that event. And I'm sitting down with one of the church planters. Now, as far as I can tell, this young guy, he is brilliant. He can speak Polish and English. He looks like a blonde, surfy sort of guy. He's built. I've noticed Helen looking at him a few times. You know, it's just, honestly, you look at this guy, this guy's got the package going on, and he's humble, and he loves God, and he's single. He's Polish, he's single, and this guy is just a machine. And I'm sitting next to him, and I say to him, I won't mention his name because, mate, all of Poland are podcasting, by the way, which is a good thing, isn't it? Except that I can't preach my messages there anymore, but anyway. And so I sit next to this guy, and I go, "Bro, you're about to plant a church. Give me the vision. What's the vision? What's the dream?" And so he starts telling me. And it's like, "Well, you know, I'm going to plant a church, and you know, if I could get 30 people there, and we could, like, just sing some songs, it would be really awesome." And I'm like, "Great, but like, what are you believing for? Like, what's the big picture dream?" "Oh, the dream would be that we could, like, grow to about 50 people. And I'm like, no. And he's looking at me like, what's the problem? I'm like, "Man, you don't realize what God could do through you. God could do so much more through you. And it's not because he doesn't want the responsibility of something big. It's not that he doesn't want to impact his city. It's not that he doesn't have a heart for God. He's just never quite heard that God wants him to ask and to believe for really big things." It's just not the culture. It's not the culture. It's just like, "This is what you've been given. You should be grateful and just take a seat and just be quiet, please." And so I had to sit with him, and I started to talk to him, and I said, no, this is what I see. This is what I see for your life." And so I start just giving him some vision, and it wasn't silly stuff. It was just stuff that I honestly believe that he's more than capable, with God's help, to build. And he started getting so excited. He said, do you really see that over my life? I said, absolutely. There is not a word of a lie, no exaggeration. I see that you could do that. And hope started to rise within him. And today, I just want to encourage you with a very similar message. I believe that most of us, just being in Australia, most of us haven't inherited that type of mentality. But I do believe that a lot of us do get to a point where we're saying, well, I think this is where I'm at. And this is what I'm pretty much going to achieve. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit today to do something inside of you and to allow you to expand on the inside. And let's see what God has really got for every single one of us. Amen. See, he allowed his life experience and he allowed his disappointments to reduce God to his last disappointment. And it's very easy to do that. We believed for something and then it didn't quite happen. And so we sort of go, oh, I think this is what God's talking about. I think this is what God's got for me. It's about there. But most of us know this scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Come on, we've read it many, many times over. It says, now to him who is able. It's talking, him is God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. This scripture is telling us that God can do more than.
Yes.
More than. Everyone say more than.
More than.
More than. God can do more than. Do you know, Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000. Do you remember this? He knew, Jesus knew how many people were there. Is that right?
Yes.
But when they performed that miracle and they got the baskets out and they're handing out all the food, the loaves and the fishes, the Bible tells us that after everyone had eaten, it doesn't say, oh, and the bread ran out and three people didn't get some. The Bible tells us that they picked up 12 baskets of bread that was left over. God seems to be a God of more than. Jesus didn't go, oh, gee, I over-allowed. He just goes, I'm just going to show them who I really am. And sometimes we're just believing that God would just come through on the miracle, but he says, that's not who I am. I'm the God of more than. Do you know, when King David is talking about the blessings that God has poured into his life, do you know how he describes it? He says, you make my cup to run over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but you know what? If I go to my kids, I just want to bless you guys today. I'm going to keep pouring my cup. And it's not a great thing to do in your own house, though. But God says, I don't care if I make a mess. I'm going to pour things over.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, am I in a room today that are believing that that's the sort of God that we serve? He's a God of more than enough. He's a God that pours things over. That's what he wants to do. Do you know, when I went for a job one day at a boutique investment company, and I was actually working there as a salesperson, and then they discovered they didn't need any more salespeople, they actually needed a customer service person, and I was the person that was chosen. And so he says, hey, listen, Richard, I want you to come in on Monday. I've got a new job for you. I want you to be the customer service manager for our company. He goes, are you willing to take it? I said, yep. I said, how much does it pay? He goes, listen, let's talk about that on Monday. So I turn up on Monday and we're walking around. It was in Lygon Street. We're walking around the park together. I remember this so clearly. And we're walking around and he's got his beautiful shoes on and he's walking around and he goes, so let me ask you a question. How much do you want to be paid? That's what he asked me. How much do you want to be paid? And you know, it's funny when someone asks you that question because all of a sudden what he's asking me to do is put some worth on yourself. That's what he's trying to say. So put some worth on yourself. So how much do you think you're worth? And so I'm thinking about my family, and this is a few years ago, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go nuts here. I'm going to go nuts. And I said, I'll tell you about what it was back then. I said, you know what, I want $45,000. And he sort of stopped, and he looked at me, and I go, oh, man, I've blown it. That's it. He's going to tell me that, no, it's too much. Or he goes, all right. I said, all right. Anyway, so we walk back to the park. Anyway, so we get back to the actual office. He leaves in his BMW, and then I'm left with the secretary, and we were good friends. She goes, did you have the conversation? I said, yeah. So she goes, so what did you ask for? We were pretty close. I said, well, I asked him for 45. She goes, what? I said, 45. She goes, I know for a fact he was happy to pay you 80.
Wow.
Shut through the heart! 80,000. Back in 1973, that was a lot of money for him. What happened that day? What happened? You know, I think sometimes that God says to us, so what do you want? And we go, 40,000 in life. What are you after in a partner? 40,000. What are you after in a house? What are you after in a job? What are you after in your own health? Oh, I'm after 40,000. And one day you're going to get to heaven. One day you're going to get to heaven. You're going to walk in. You're going to be like, I'm the 40,000 person. And an angel's going to say, you know, he was happy to pay you 80. Oh, yeah. Yeah, boom. It just went off right there. Yeah. An angel's going to say to you, so I know you were believing for this for your kids, but you know God had this planned. And you know that you were happy to live there, but you know God was happy for you to live there. And you know what? We've got to get our heads around the God who says, hey, listen, I'm not just the God who provides. I'm the God of more than enough.
Yeah.
Amen? More than enough. That's what he wants to do. I was just listening to Pastor Steve Penny's message this morning because I was up at 3 o'clock and nothing else to do. And I've got to tell you, it was one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. His 9:30 message was incredible, honestly. I was like getting blown away thinking, wow, Lifehouse, amen, come on, guys, let's do this. But as I'm listening to his message, I'm thinking, wow, this is prophetic because this was already prepared before I heard his message. And he talked about how there's a story where a prophet says to a king, he says, listen, you're going to go defeat that enemy out there. He says, take your arrows. He says, take your arrows. He goes and strike the ground. You remember this story? And so the king takes it and he goes, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. And he strikes it 1, 2, 3 times. And the prophet loses it and says, why? Why did you only strike the ground 3 times? Now you're only going to defeat them 3 times. He says, you should have struck it 5 or 6 times. You would have completely annihilated them. And I think that's the voice of heaven. Why are we just striking things 3 times? Why are we just believing for 3 when God's believing for 6? Why are we believing for 45,000 when God is believing for 80,000? Why? Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, listen, the Bible is telling us that God can do more than we can ever ask or think. That scripture is taking for granted that we are going to be asking and thinking. It's taken for granted that God can do, but it is according to what you're asking and thinking. So my question to all of us today is, what are you asking and what are you thinking? Let's go back to my message about what are you imagining for your life? Because the Bible is saying God can do more than that. But if you're not even asking anything, then God can only do a little bit more than nothing. But if you're asking for 10, then God can give you 15. If you're asking for 15, God can give you 30. But if you're asking for nothing, then God has to give you nothing. Because he can only give you more than what you're asking or thinking. Yeah. Are you hearing this?
Yeah.
Do you know, so basically, let me introduce the series then. This is the series. Put it up, guys. No, the series, go back. Things that change things. And for these next few weeks, I want to talk to you about some things that will change some things going on in your life. Some things that we ought to be doing, some things that we ought to be believing, some things that we ought to be believing in order to change some things. Does anybody want some things going on in their world to either leave their life, come into their life, to grow or to decrease? Anybody? 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 Amen. Well, listen, if we want to see some things change, let me tell you what changes things. Number one, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. If you're expecting some things to change in your life, things to change in your partner's life, in your children's life, in your work life, but we never ask God for it, friends, get used to holding on to it because your life will never change. God is the God who can do exceedingly above and abundantly more than we ask or think. God's expecting you to pray about it. He's expecting you to believe it and to do it. Now listen, the beauty of this is that it's not that we need to make this happen. Some of us have misunderstood prayer. We think that prayer, that the bigger your prayer is, that the more you somehow have to do. No, prayer isn't about you. It's about asking God and trusting in his ability. Prayer isn't about trusting in your ability. It's trusting in the God who can change the situation. Prayer. Now listen to this. This is going to be quite controversial for some of you. Prayer doesn't change anything. God uses your prayer to change things. Let me tell you what changes things when you pray. Not your prayer. It's God who changes the things. But without the prayer, God doesn't change anything. Throw me a mobile phone for a minute. Can I have your mobile phone? See this thing here? This is prayer. And for some of us, we've misunderstood prayer. For some of us, we worship prayer. Prayer. I love my time of prayer. Prayer. I've got to pray. Prayer. Prayer. Friends, this is just a communication device. This is just a vehicle.
Yeah.
It's about the person on the other end that you're speaking to that makes it powerful. Are you hearing this? Let me tell you what's devastating is when people are spending a lot of time in prayer but not connecting to God. Someone's ringing you right now. Someone actually was ringing you. Can I answer it? Hello? Yes, this is Richard. I'm actually preaching a great message. You should podcast it. Go to the Lifehouse website, No, it's not actually. Hey, listen, prayer doesn't cast out demons. Prayer doesn't cast out demons. God casts out demons. But he needs your prayer. Just like if I had a stick of dynamite and I wanted to blow something up, the fuse doesn't blow anything up, but the fuse gets you to the dynamite. God is the dynamite that is actually able to change things. God needs us to pray, but it's not the prayer that actually changes anything. It's God who changes stuff. Are you hearing that? It's God who does it. It's Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't pray, nothing happens. Do you know, you look at some of these chords. There are long chords and there are some short chords. Do you know what's funny about long chords and short chords? They all deliver the 240 volts or watts, whatever it is, to whatever it needs it. Are you hearing that? For some of us, it's like, oh, he's talking about prayer. That means I've got to pray for a long time. Well, funny enough, no. It's actually not about the length of prayer, because I've seen lots of small prayers. But as long as they're connected to a big God. I've seen a lot of people's long prayers, but those long prayers are connected to a very small God. It's not about your prayer, friend. It's actually about who do you believe is on the other end of your prayer. A very big God who is willing to answer your prayer. Give him a round of applause. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you, what do you mean by small prayer, big God, big God? I don't understand. Small prayer, big God. Small prayer, big God. What does that mean? Helen and I, to get back to Australia, we've got these little things called a ticket. And that ticket is very small. It's very small. It's a very small thing. And if I just grab that ticket and go, this is my ticket home. And then if I just jump off a building... If I just jump off a building, that ticket will take me all the way home. Is that what some of us believe about prayer? No, that building, that ticket just simply gets me onto a very big plane. Right? Yeah, it is good. That is great. That's great. A little ticket that I chose to buy, though. So without the ticket, you can't get on the plane. So prayer connects me to God. Just like my ticket gets me onto an A380, which is really big. Now listen, once I get onto the A380, I don't go, okay, I'm on here now, but I better do my bit. And so as the plane's starting to take off, I don't start going, come on, everybody, help, it's a big plane. No, I just sit back, I relax, I got my ticket, I did my bit, now you do your bit. Come on, I did my bit, come on, A380, you do your bit. And all of a sudden the pilot just, but you know what, you've got to trust. I'm not stressed out. I did my bit. My bit was the little ticket. Your bit is the asking. And if you're praying big prayers, don't go, but if I pray a big prayer, it's somehow more and more up to me. No, it's not. It's more and more up to him. So why not pray a big prayer? If that's the fuse, if that's the ticket that gets you onto the different things of life, why wouldn't we pray a big prayer to get us to our destination? Do you know, there's a guy called Joshua. And one day he was in a battle. And the battle wasn't over yet, but the battle had to be over. He couldn't let the sun go down. And so some of you know the story. Have a look at what it says. And then on the day that the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. And he said, this is his big prayer. Are you ready for his big prayer? Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of... So the sun stood still. Now listen, I counted the words. 15 words made the sun stand still. 15 words. And somehow we're going, but you know, one of these messages, like what that means is I've got to spend hours and hours. Well, he didn't spend hours and hours, but he made the sun stand still. Pretty big deal, I would imagine. Anyone made the sun stand still lately? 15 words. Why do we think God needs your big, long prayers to change your family life? Or to change where you're working, or to change some things that you are wanting desperately into your life. Hey, listen, why don't you pray the big prayers and keep them nice and short, actually? so that you can fit more in. And just keep praying big prayers to a big God, because he's willing to give you more than what you ask or think. Give someone a high five. If you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Do you know, some of us have missed this. Some of us have missed it. We're thinking that big prayers takes big faith. And over and over and over again, Luke 17, verses 5 to 7. Jesus says, hey, listen. He replied, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to a mulberry tree, get out of here and move. So what Jesus is trying to say, guys, it's not really about how big your faith is. It's just, do you have a little, do you have just a little bit to at least pray the prayer? That's all he can. Have you got just a little bit that will, have you got a little bit of fuse that will at least get you to the dynamite and then let God blow things up? That's what Jesus is trying to say. It's not about your faith. God, give me more faith. God, give me more. Have you got a little bit? That's enough. Just, have you got a tiny amount, like as small as a mustard seed? Yeah, I've got that. That's enough. Now just pray a very big prayer and connect your prayer to God and let him do something crazy in your life.
So good, so good.
Oh, man, what's God doing to you guys today? Are you ready to pray some big prayers?
Yeah.
I hope so. Do you know, one day the disciples saw Jesus mess up a tree. You remember that? And it started withering away. And they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, how do we do something so dramatic like that? And then Jesus said, have faith in prayer. No, he didn't say that. He said, have faith in God.
Yeah, that's right.
Prayer is just the necessary vehicle to get you to God. Yeah. And then he does the work.
Yeah.
Are you getting this? Because I don't know about you, but for a long time, I was on my knees saying, God, am I praying the right way? God, am I articulating myself enough? Like as if God actually has to hear my words. The Bible says God knows the words you're going to speak before you even speak them. And I'm here, I'm more right about the formula. I'm right about getting all my words right. And God is saying, just pray something. Just open your mouth and ask me. Just say something out of a heart. I can see your heart. But just be willing to pray the prayer. And for some of us, we're nervous because disappointment has beat us down so hard that we are afraid because it might not happen. And I understand that. But what if it does? What if I had have said to that guy, hey, listen, 45, and he had have said, oh, are you kidding me? No way, 25. But then again, what if I had have said 80 and he said, yes? What's it going to cost you to just pray a big prayer? Oh, you might get a bit disappointed, but it may come through for you. But we're so nervous. But what if I pray that prayer and I get my hopes up? Well, no, what, I'll tell you what's better, have no hope. Better to have hopes up and then disappointed than to have no hope at all. Come on, let's pray some big prayers, crazy ones. And let's let God, see, a lot of us are thinking, yeah, it's true. How has life beat me down so much that we are now just living in the natural world, not expecting God to do a whole lot really. And God says, well, you know what? I think you're going to miss out on a lot. But not today at Lifehouse. Not today. Not today. And to those who are podcasting, not today. How do we do this? How do we do this? You know, one day when Jesus was going to raise a girl from the dead, do you remember that story? And the Bible says that she died. And the servants came out and they said, don't bother the master anymore because the girl is dead. Do you remember this story? And the Bible says that they were playing flutes and they were crying and there's a whole lot of people just wailing. And then chapter 9, verse 24 to 25, Matthew, it says, then Jesus said to them, make room. You know, it was amazing. Sarah was up here today singing and Sarah's going, make room, make room. I go, Lord, again, anyone that seems to worship lead here, mate, the spirit of prophecy comes on. Make room, he says. For the girl is not dead, but she's sleeping. And they ridiculed him. That's the part we don't like. Because Jesus spoke out something, but he made room. Do you know how he made room? Jesus kicked out the doubters. Now, do you understand how controversial that would have been? Jesus was surrounded by 12 people, his disciples. Now, it's easy to get rid of the real naysayers. So he got rid of all the real naysayers, you know, the people that were playing the flutes and the, she's dead. He got rid of those people. But then the Bible says that he even turned around to his own disciples.
That's right.
And he said to them, guys, you can't come in. You can't come in. He got to Thomas, you can't come in. Why not? hate to tell you, buddy, but next time you can come in. Oh, I doubt that. Well, that's why you're not coming in. And the Bible says that he went into that room with three people, Peter, James, and John. The crazy faith people. Hey, listen, do you want to pray some big prayers? Surround yourself with some crazy faith people. Come on, let's not get around the people that are speaking naysaying. Surround yourself with some faithful people who believe that God can do great things for us. What's the second thing he did? She's not dead. She's only sleeping. He spoke it out. And I've got the worship team up here, and I'm going to ask everyone to come up in a minute. Come on, I want you all up here. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment, and the band's going to play real loud, but I don't want this to just be a nice message. No, no, I want us to stand up in a moment. And some of you have got some crazy prayers in your heart, but you've never uttered them out of your mouth. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit would say to all of us today, don't be a doubter. Yeah. You've got to make room for God. Make room. Put your doubts aside for a moment. Put your doubts aside. Put your own ability aside for a moment. Put your own disappointment aside for a moment. Put it aside. Make some room. And you've got to declare, no, this is not dead. And start speaking out those crazy prayers you've got in your heart. Now, guess what? You're in a place that we will celebrate. The crazier the prayer, we're going to believe with you. Hey, listen, we are in a building today. Come on. So some of you know the story, but we are in this building today. But out in that room out there, we were told by council, you don't have a permit. And we thought we were going to be having to go through the permit process for 9 months. And so I'm there half depressed, being negative. There's a handful of people, some of you were there, 9 o'clock prayer meeting, Saturday morning, and I'm standing around going, guys, we've been told that we can't get in and blah, 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 blah. But there was one man in our church, one man, standing right beside me. God made him stand right beside me too. He couldn't have been on the other side of the room. No, he had to stand right beside me. And he looked at me and he goes, you know what? You know what I believe? You know what I believe? I believe by next Friday we'll have a permit. And everything within me went, come here, man. Everything within me, why are you talking like that? He didn't care. He prayed it. God, by next Friday, I believe we've got a permit. And everyone's like, is Pastor Richard agreeing? And I'm like, and we're like, oh. Well, lo and behold, we somehow get a meeting, blah, 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 blah. And on Friday, on that Friday, we were told by council, you guys are good to go. You guys are good to go. I'm so glad someone prayed a crazy prayer because it certainly didn't come out of my mouth. Hey, listen, I don't stand up here as some Superman. I never do. You know that, right? I'm giving credit where credit is due. But it doesn't take away anything from the truth that I'm giving all of us today. I've got to live this. You've got to live this. We're going to plant churches internationally in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm speaking it out. We're going to be doing that. Get ready for it. Lifehouse is going to be expanding and growing. And guess what? You guys are going to be the ones doing it. Some of you are going to be moving overseas and you're going to be planting churches in cities, major cities of the world where there are no life-giving churches. Some of you are going to be part of those teams in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.